Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I think it was pretty unanimous among those of us who pay close attention to the world of theater. It was one of the least interesting and inspiring fall seasons. And now we head into winter. Snow has even made its first appearance. Unfortunately, January is traditionally the most dire of months for the Broadway stages due to holiday tourist season ending, colder temperatures, and, well, less money to spend after all that gifting and regifting. There were play openings, but they just didn't register on the excitement meter. The first big show was Prince of Broadway, a musical montage of the great producer Harold Prince's career, but it disappointed big time and was gone rather quickly. M. Butterfly's anticipated revival was close to dead on arrival. The Roundabout Theater's Time in the Conways likewise disappointed, despite the appearance of Downton Abbey actress Elizabeth McGovern. It has already come and gone. Junk by Ayad Akhtar was highly anticipated and advertised and has done good enough business, thanks mostly to loyal Lincoln Center subscribers, but it too proved less than stellar, and I'm not sure it will be remembered come Tony nomination time. Neither will Meteor Shower, an amusing but slight comedy by Steve Martin. Now, that one has sold exceedingly well due to its starry cast, but because of that starry cast, it is in one of those limited runs, selling tickets only until mid-January. The progress of The Parisian Woman, starring Uma Thurman, will be worth watching. The reviews were largely negative and not the kind of word-of-mouth the show dreams of. I will be delivering my thoughts on this one next week, but I can tell you most of the seats are going for half price. Never a good sign. A transfer from the public theater, John Leguizamo's solo Latin History for Morons, is doing well enough, apparently, to run through February, but it's in one of the smaller houses, Studio 54, and while a good fit, not generating a lot of heat. The one-man show that has generated heat, of course, is Bruce Springsteen's, which is now extending 4 more months. I'll be seeing it this coming week, and we'll be discussing it on my next report. That one, needless to say, is far from a traditional Broadway show, and it will be interesting to see how the Tony nominators even categorize it. One-person shows are always a challenge, especially on Broadway. Just ask Michael Moore. The next to come is John Lithgow's Stories by Heart. Well, at least the budgets are relatively small. Of the new productions, 2 musicals, one a revival and one a transfer from off-Broadway, have received nice notices. At the Intimate Circle in the Square venue, Once on This Island, a Caribbean-flavored Romeo and Juliet tale, is pleasing audiences with its infectious songs by Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty. But I can't imagine a long run for a show without any glitzy and recognizable names. And even after a rave review from the New York Times, tickets have been selling for 40% off. I'm also eager to see if The Band's Visit continues its initially strong run as we move out of the holidays. As I've said here before, I hope I'm wrong in my skepticism. As for dramas, opening this week is Lucy Kirkwood's The Children, an import from England with the British cast intact, none of whom are known here. This one seems highly risky. The best bet is Farinelli and the King, officially opening in January and starring the always fabulous Mark Rylance. That one, in fact, calls itself a play with music. It will play on as long as Rylance is available, I imagine, since it is written by his wife. As I always say, Off-Broadway continues to present some of the more interesting fare. This week I saw a rather unusual piece called Cross That River at the 59 East 59 Theaters. Now, it's performed by 4 singers. It would be a stretch to call it a play, more of a storytelling musical exercise. It left me with mixed feelings and, above all, asking, why does every man want to be a cowboy? Cross That River is narrated in a folksy style by the play's author and main composer, Alan Harris. Guitar in hand, he is supported by a talented trio, Maya Azucena, Carolyn Leonhardt, and Jeffrey Lewis, all likable and fine singers. The cast is backed by a 5-piece band. We follow the story of a black man named Blue, a former slave on the run, heading out west where he believes freedom awaits. There is a white woman he knows and loves as a very young man, but they are separated by time, place, and, well, the realities of a racialized country. You know, he says, white hat, white horse, white face. The two-hour show covers just about every cowboy cliche, the job as a cattle herder, the grub around the campfire, the mule skinner. What exactly is a mule skinner? And lines like, ride hard and don't trust no one. It's certainly not a painful couple hours to sit on your saddles, and the songs are tuneful and well-performed, and there is an emotionally satisfying end to this tall tale. One can't help but admire Alan Harris for his obvious passion for the old-fashioned Western, and the loyal 59 audience also seem to admire the effort, not to mention a break from the city's first snowstorm. The style of the show, by the way, is one that the New York Theater Workshop is employing now as well in a rock, punk, folk piece called 100 Days. In that case, it is a real-life husband and wife telling their own story via song, also backed by an onstage band. I'm not sure if there's a trend here, but the two shows prove once again that live theater comes in all forms and figures these days. So we say farewell to a dismal fall on Broadway, an always challenging and more interesting one off Broadway, and look forward to what we hope will be a more surprising spring. Well, right now the most anticipated shows have names like My Fair Lady, Carousel, Angels in America, Three Tall Women, and The Iceman Cometh. And then there are all those movies turning into plays like Mean Girls and Frozen. Well, one can hardly complain about those familiar titles, Jill, but I'm always looking for the one that sneaks up to the big stage and brings us an exciting new voice.
Well, you never know. Hey, maybe, I don't know, how refreshing during the snow is once on this island?
Yeah, that's right. Go and get warm.
I think, and who knows, but I'm a big proponent of I'm going to be very interested to see how entertainment shifts over the next seasons, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's all not exactly been relaxing, except for Springsteen, I'm sure. I can't wait to hear your report, but I would love to know how you managed to get a ticket, because, of course, the rest of us aren't even trying.
I know. Well, it helps to have a husband who works at a network, who's got a booker, who seems to know everybody, who knows everybody.
Right.
But, you know, but believe me, we've been waiting a long time. But
The show had to be extended. so that you could actually get a ticket. But that, I mean, it's almost unfair, that's the wrong way to put it. But I think that if Paul McCartney were to do, a run like this.
I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. Yeah, isn't it great to have Bruce doing this? But that's why I said it'll be interesting to see how it's even categorized. I guess a special event. They're going to have to start a new... Yeah.
Over the years, there have been... look, fair's fair, and it's business, and you gotta make the business work.
Well, in a way, Hugh Jackman's one-man show was his own story. Now, of course, he's a phenomenally talented singer, dancer, had a big, cast, and he told his whole life story. But I guess Bruce is doing that with a guitar and keyboards. So,
the point being that, that at that time, that was an equally hard ticket, and he was, I don't want to say, I mean, equally is the wrong word, but he was widely acclaimed for his work and his performance. And, he's one of the original triple threats.
And he also did the greatest auctions ever.
Right.
He's known for that. You know, this is that time of AIDS when they all come out and say, please give money to go to the, to benefit this organization. And I think he raised $1 million. They said it was the most anybody had ever raised at the end of his show. He would be auctioning off his shirt. He'd auction off somebody to come and hand him a towel when he came out of the shower.
Yeah.
So, I don't think Bruce Springsteen would be doing that.
No, I don't think so either. But the
but they are taking. But yeah, this is something that takes up a stage. It's not like there aren't a lot of Broadway stages that are open right now. I'm afraid to say, but that'll change. That'll be changing over the next few months.
And is there anything?
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, you probably touched on this, but this is. It's the end of the year. Is there anything that you are really looking forward to, or anything in the
pipeline? Well, of those, you know, I have to say I'm looking forward to seeing Angels in America again. This one does come from England. I'm always knocking plays that come from England because they get such rave reviews over there. Then they come here and they largely disappoint. But this is a production. But it has Nathan Lane in it, so he's one of ours, of course. How do you not want to see Nathan Lane playing Roy Cone and Andrew Garfield? I'm looking forward to that, and I have to say I'm looking forward to Carousel. It's a beauty, and you know, when I complain about old shows coming back, you know, we have to remember they're great old shows and reaching new audiences. So no complaints there at all. Just nice to mix them up with the original voices, you know.
Right, and I just I definitely want to emphasize that, because there's nothing. I know somebody just wrote something in the paper of record the other day saying, you know, this is just really so great to watch theater on TV, but you don't get the magic of being live, whatever it is. I mean, I'm happy for someone who goes to a lot of theater to watch something on TV, but unless you've been there and seen it and felt it, you're not. It is so not the same thing.
No, I've talked about that here, about other ways to experience stage. People who can't afford, you know, $150 tickets, they can watch She Loves Me, which was aired, I think, last week with Laura Benanti, and that's exciting. And for those who can't get to the theater, who don't live anywhere near Broadway, I get it. And if nothing else, you hope that it turns them on to maybe go and check it out. They're a community theater. It's like the Tony Awards. 99% of the country is never going to see one of those shows, but hey, they may think, oh, either I'll take a trip to New York, or hey, what's playing down at the, you know, the community center? What's playing at the Pantages? What's playing? So I guess as theater lovers, we would say anything that exposes audiences to the possibility should be applauded.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.